We're joined now by Kate Bone, who's here to talk to us about the 2020 census and how some children are being undercounted. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Kate, can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
I work at the New York State Council on Children and Families, and I am a policy analyst, and I look at lots of data about children and families, and we use the census as our denominator, how many children are in a community, how many adults are in a county or a town. We look at these data, and then we look at how the communities are faring with lots of different indicators about children and families.
And so what are your concerns about this upcoming census in 2020?
Well, we do have a problem in the United States undercounting children in our communities, and that's the biggest issue I see right now looking at educating our communities, our parents, about what's coming down the pike in 2020. So when children are undercounted, we as a community, as Troy or as New York State, we don't get enough money to serve all the children in our communities, and that's the issue. So if we don't count every child, we don't get enough money for all of our children.
So how exactly does undercounting occur?
Well, it's complicated. Families are complicated, so we might have a parent and child living with a grandparent, and the grandparent, as the homeowner or the head of household, gets the form and doesn't fill it out because that parent and grandchild are only there for a little while, so they don't put them on the form. It could be that parents are divorced or they're not married, they're not living together, and they think the other person is putting the child on their form. It could be that they're moving from home to home, from couch to couch, and they don't have a mailing address, so they don't get the form. There's lots of different reasons that children are not counted, and possibly a parent has seven children, and doesn't fill out the form for each of the children. So we have lots of different ideas about why children are undercounted.
I see. Well, what can be done to rectify that?
Well, we are hoping that this education, talking with you, talking with our communities, talking with our community leaders, will get folks updated and talking about the census, talking about what our communities need, where we might use some extra money. So maybe we might be motivated to get folks talking about the census in 2018 when it actually occurs in 2020. I know that's a big lift, but it's important to all our communities.
I see. Is there any other way of getting an estimate of how many children are being undercounted even?
Well, the way we found out about the undercount in the data world is that we keep very good records of births and deaths in our state. That's a lot of what we do as the state health department, as the state of New York. We keep track of who moves in and out. So we have this in-migration, out-migration data. We have births and deaths. And so when we look at the under five population of children and the birth and death records, young children don't die very often, so we are counting children. And then when we look at the census and what they came up with for our population of children under five, there's a difference. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we know that the undercount exists. And that's why we want to talk about it now, so that we get people talking about it.
And how significant can some of these discrepancies be between your birth records and the actual numbers that are reported?
They can be between 5 and 4% of children. In New York State, we had an estimated 400,000 children undercounted. So that's less than 500,000. But for that particular age group, that's a lot of children.
And these are children under five that are not being 400,000
right.
children
missing
under five.
That we are serving with all of our programs, but we don't have the money to do that.
I see. So it kind of begs the question, why aren't your system, the birth records, used just for the census for that purpose?
So that's an interesting question, and that goes back to our founding as a country. The U.S. Constitution states that we should count every resident, and that's how we, as a country, figure out who represents us in Washington. That's how we figure out who represents us in New York State. So it has a lot to do with our democracy. It also has a lot to do, as I've mentioned, about the money, our public policy, our priorities, where we put our money, how we divide our money up. And it also has a lot to do with Lord & Taylor and Verizon and where our next drug treatment program is. A lot of the businesses in the world use this data for where they're going to site their next retail store or restaurant, and government uses it for where we're going to put our drug treatment programs, our roads, sewers, things like that. So the data is used all the time. So it's in our Constitution, and that's how we have organized ourselves since then. The birth and death records are very important also as a society, but it's just a different purpose.
Is there any changes that could be made to the way the census is taking, maybe doing it digitally or hiring more people to do the distribution, somehow making it easier? Is there some way that we could encourage more people to fill out the forms, to do it for all their kids, and cut down on the undercounting?
Absolutely. And you brought up a great point with the digital piece, the electronic piece. A lot of people asked in 2010, why wasn't the census online? And they needed authorization from Congress to do that. And so they have that authorization now. So this census will be the first one. It will be online. What we've heard from the Census Bureau is that you will get a postcard at your mailing address with a code on it, and you can go to your phone or tablet or computer or the library computer. You can put in that code, and you can fill out your census form for the 2020 census. So that's a great part of, you know, improving and updating an emergent technology, and also all about where we're going to find partners to help us. So the libraries are a great place where people can access public computers. We also have a lot of career tech labs that might be able to help, and other creative places where people might find computers.
And how do you go about, like, reaching out to these other groups for that kind of support? Do most people come to you, or is it a lot of outreach that has to go into it?
Well, over the years, the census has built up a partnership program so that libraries, community colleges are somewhat certain partners with the census, as they have been in the past. City governments, town governments are also partners. They want a complete count of people who live within their borders so that they can get the money and the representation that they deserve. There's also a lot of new partners, such as your radio station and community and church groups in Troy, that might be willing to come out into the community and start talking about the census and start talking to their community members about what's going on.
So it's great to hear that there are so many people willing to collaborate with this. It sounds wonderful. One thing that I didn't hear was the school districts. Is there any buy-in or interest in work with them? Or
absolutely. And I'm sorry I forgot them. Absolutely. The schools are a huge, huge partner. They have the Census in the Schools program, where they teach students about statistics and about where the data comes from. They talk about how they're able to describe their community with the data. And they're also a great place for evening meetings where families can come and learn about the census. It may be now that we are able to have the schools with computer labs open up to parents to fill out their census form and to possibly provide a little bit of guidance on the website and how it all works. So schools are a huge partner.
Are we expecting to see a larger increase in children? I hear all the time about how upstate New York is depleting, that especially like younger people are just not in the area anymore. Are you expecting to see like a jump or a decline of that youngest age group in the next one?
Well, I think that if we have a great education campaign and we're able to get parents to fill out the form, we're hoping to see what we have in upstate New York. You know, I think there's a lot of anecdotal information about people leaving. I think there's also a lot of anecdotal information about lots of families in this neighborhood, or lots of this neighborhood is teeming with children. So I'd like to get a handle on that myself.
And how do you, so basically once the census data comes in, what do you do for the next 10 years?
Well, the census has lots of different surveys that they conduct. They have the American Community Survey. They do economic surveys. They survey businesses. So they have a lot of work to do. What we do at the council is look at different programs that our communities need, and look at what might the data be able to show us about the health and social well-being of the children in New York State.
And just trying to draw it out as much as I can. So from there, does that go into like getting grants and like actually directing the funds? Are those generally state? Or it sounds like it's really every organization uses this then.
Right. Data about children and families are used by nonprofits, local governments, hospitals, clinics. They're used to draw down funding from community foundations, from large foundations. They're also to build grants that the federal government might put out, that the state government might put out. So these data are used quite a bit by the community groups that serve children and families.
Excellent. You know, thank you so much for all of this information. Kate, could you give our listeners a little information how they can get in contact with you and if they want to get involved?
Sure, absolutely. Our website is ccfcharliecharliefrank.ny.gov, and we have a whole Census 2020 initiative, and you can find my email there on the website also. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That was Kate Bone. Thanks again for joining us.